Hello.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. And welcome again to another session of Blog Talk Radio. We hope you had a very productive week. And we're looking for having some live discussions today. So today we're going to be talking about how do we overcome our stormy days. You know? And I think it's a very important topic because a lot of times we allow the things and certain turns of events into our life to lay up here and cause us to have adverse reactions to material situations. You know what I'm saying? Stuff that we really don't even need in our life, stuff that's not even really important, you know? You know, let's start gathering your will and reflect on your purpose and endure the challenges that life has prepared for you. With this humility, can bring to life the positive feelings when they are needed and used effectively towards your purpose. You know? So you have to think about that. You know what I'm saying? You can mentally bring to life the positive feeling when they are needed and use them effectively towards your purpose. That means that you can lay up here and gravitate toward the positive in any situation, or you can lay up here and make the decision to lay up here and gravitate toward the negative part of the situation. You know how some people just get so caught up in the drama? You know, people hollering and screaming when there's no need to be hollering and screaming. You know what I'm saying? They amplifying a situation that really needs no amplification. You know, that if you just turn it down, just, you know what I'm saying, steal your heart for a minute and stuff, you know what I'm saying, and collect your thoughts and just clearly articulate what the problem is, and you'll find out, you know what I'm saying, the solution is right there within your grasp. So, you know, they say that the adolescents are amplified, you know, through their surroundings, that they see things, how we conduct ourselves in a state of crisis, how we conduct ourselves every day in our homes and at our workplaces and stuff like that. They say our children imitate us, you know. They say that that clinically depressed moods occurring for the most of the day, they're not. That they said our kids are in a state of clinical depression more than they are in a state of happiness and excitement, you know what I'm saying, and adventure. You know, because like from the ages of, from the ages of 3 to 7, it's the most stressful times in a child's life. And I'm like, wow, I never thought of it like that, you know what I'm saying? I never looked at it like that. You know, I always looked at it on an adult perspective, you know, because now that I'm not a child anymore, you know what I'm saying, I'm more inclined to look at my life in the here and now. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, like big boy depression issues, you know what I'm saying, like lack of love and lack of finances, you know what I'm saying, lack of money, you know what I'm saying, lack of unification often in our communities and in our marriages and our schools, you know what I'm saying, in our churches. You know what I'm saying? The legal medications that we take and stuff, you know what I'm saying, or to lay up here and just get through the normalcy of the day, you know? Taking aspirins and, you know, taking herbal teas and taking energy drinks and all these things and stuff. You know what I'm saying? These are legal medications that we use to lay up here and suppress depression. And I never thought about it like that. You know what I'm saying? You know, they said even muscle fatigue can lead you into a form of depression. So I would like to hear from you. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? I want to hear about some of the warning signs of depression that's occurs in your life every day, you know? Because the things that we're dealing with, it says that 20 tips for being mentally strong. When you face negative people, know that the key to life is to stay positive in the face of negativity, not in the absence of it. After all, everyone who will overcome negativity to define themselves and create their success. When you face the naysayers, remember the people who believe in you and spoke positive words to you When you face critics, remember to tune them out and focus only on being the best you can be. When you wake up in the morning, take a morning walk or gratitude and pray. It will create a fertile mind ready for success. When you fear, trust, let your faith be stronger and greater than your doubts. And that's important. So we have a call on the line. And
yeah.
Okay. Hello, caller.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. We can hear you.
Okay, good, good. VJ Smith, Minneapolis Mad Dads. Oh, man, it's so good. So good, sir, to hear you talking about something that I think is very critical in our community, and that's depression. Matter of fact, if you have depressive issues like 99.9% of the people do, they have depressive issues. I'm sounding like a real Negro now, though. It's depression. Depression issues. And we have those issues because of a lot of reasons, and I'm sure you talk about them. But one of the things we do here in Minneapolis, Minnesota, is we have a support group that meets every Tuesday. And you'd be amazed at how many people come in and are depressed. And they're depressed because what life is doing for them and how life is. One of the things that I do that to help me when I'm feeling depressed is I just begin to be still. Sometimes you just have to be still. You don't have to be so involved and so active all the time. Sometimes when I'm feeling like I'm getting down a little bit, I just sit back and I listen to some good music, or sometimes I'll just go downtown and sit somewhere and just watch people and not think about anything, because I think part of the depression that we have sometimes is that we're constantly thinking about what we got to do next, or thinking about what somebody thinks about us, or thinking about thinking. And we have to realize that we don't always have to be thinking. Our brain is just like anything else in our body. Our brain is just like that leg. You can't run all the time, and your arm, you can't. That's why pitchers can't pitch all the time. You know, so you can't be doing stuff all the time. And so you have to relax your brain. And I think when you don't relax it, that you get stressed, and stress is what causes depression. Think about these single mothers that are trying to raise their children and having to work two part-time jobs, plus come home and raise the kids and, you know, take care of the bills and do all and protect the family and all that. That's stressful. You don't think that leads to depression? Think about the young man or even older men that have responsibilities that go beyond their budget and responsibility that go beyond sometimes their mental capacity. And instead of them drinking or getting high, they just get stressed out. And that leads to depression. Depression is very serious. And one of the reasons why there's a liquor store on almost every corner is because we need something to medicate that depression. We need something to take away that depression. So for me, like I said before, I love to watch people, and you know that's how I relieve it. And I love music, and I think music has, you know, an opportunity to go in and soothe you. That's why I can't understand how some young people can say, "Oh yeah, man, hip hop soothes me." Like, you know, I'm not from that generation. So if you're talking about hoes and bees and booty shaking, that doesn't soothe me. You know, give me and you old school. So if you put on some Delphonics or some Dramatics, you know, and I know we dating ourselves, but if you put on the Temptations, now that's soothing, you know. And if you put on some good gospel music, Shirley Caesar or something, that's soothing, you know, and it takes away some of the frustration that you have in your mind. So my thoughts are, is that we need to make sure that our community has tools that we can use to help us get out of our depression.
All right, BJ. And that's a very we have another call on the line, and that is a very interesting statement that you made about the various ways that we use to medicate our own depression. You know, they say that 50% of people believe depression is a personal weakness.
Wow.
You know, 50%. I mean, that's amazing, ain't it? That's amazing. You know what I'm saying? They said 92% of depressed African-American males do not seek treatment. That we don't even vocalize our depression, you know?
Wow.
Or the current state of our minds, you know? That we withhold so much of this stuff, you know what I'm saying? Because we, and I think that goes back to that 54% of people not, of people believing that depression is a personal sign of weakness, you know? That I don't want to let people show you that I'm going through some stuff, because I don't want you to lay up here and look at me in a negative manner, that I'm some type of weakling, you know what I'm saying, that I'm punking myself out. That's crazy.
That's right. That is crazy.
Really crazy. And call on the line, you call in and make a comment? Call on the line, the 4665. Okay, we have another call on the line. Look at this caller. Hello, caller. The 1-100-1007 line. Hello? We have another call on the line. Hello?
Hello, yes. Hi, how are you?
How are you doing today?
I'm fine. This is Christina from Minneapolis, and I just wanted to comment on what VJ was saying, you know, about depression, and especially in the community and so forth. I agree totally about the music, with all he said, but I just want to comment on music plays a role. You know, a lot of times if we do listen to gospel, even the positive music back in the 60s and stuff, there's always a positive message in the music. And today we have all generations listening to a lot of music that do not promote a healthy mental state. It the beat and everything may soothe you, but the words that it expresses, it doesn't express love or comfort. It doesn't help with the emotions. That's a lot of places you go to. I mean, kids riding school bus, and my children, you know, they come home and sing certain songs, and I'm like, well, where did you learn this song from? Because we don't play the music, that music in the house. Oh, on the school bus. Or it's out there. And I think if the community that would just, as a whole, get together and try to really make sure that when they have music on, whether it's in the beauty shop, the barber shop, the wherever you are, over the intercom, when you're in shopping or different places, there's always positive. Sometimes don't even have words, just have the instrumental version of it, because it definitely can affect your mood.
Yeah, and you're certainly right about that. So you go, you adhere to that that age old philosophy that music tames the savage beast.
Yeah, that is an eloquent way of putting it.
but that's true though, and I agree with you 100%. You know what I'm saying? Because like, if you know, like, if you lay up in and you in the environment and you're not feeling relaxed, you're a little tense. You know what I'm saying? And then something comes on the radio and stuff. You're saying it's real mellow and it's real joyful and soothing, and it has a tendency to erase out that negative feeling that you're feeling. You know what I'm saying? You can just absorb yourself off into the melody of the music, you know? But
yes,
then you might get into somebody else's car, and that person is just going crazy, you know?
Right.
Are you still on the line calling?
Yes, I'm on the line. I hear you.
Okay. And you know, they just, you know, they thumping and they making that that you know, F the world and everything is unfair and ain't nobody treat me right and blah blah
right.
blah, and the next thing you do, you just a natural tendency to feed off into, you know what I'm saying, the aesthetics of the situation that you in, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it has a tendency to lay up here and make you sad. And then, you know, like, we have a ugly graphic. You know what I'm saying? Well, it says that that preschoolers are the fastest growing market for antidepressants. You know what I'm saying? And it says at least 4% of preschoolers, over 1 million, are clinically depressed. And I'm like, man, how can that be? You know what I'm saying? I mean, these babies haven't even had a chance to lay a pin, you know what I'm saying, and have abstract thinking added off into their ability to think, you know?
Yeah.
And already they're up under clinical depression because of their environments, you know?
Yeah.
And I mean, and you know, and this speaks on to the unconsciousness of our society. You know, that we have these little, these little people running around with us, running around in our homes, depressed.
Depressed over their environment and the music they hear, and the things that they endure, whether it's in the house. So, it's really hurtful. It's really hopeful, and we need to do something as a community. Parents and people in the community really need to try to get a hold on this because, you know, children are on Ritalin and other kind of antidepressant drugs in the first grade and second and third and fourth grade, and get to the point where, you know, anytime anything go wrong, the school is calling, did the child take their medication? It's almost like we creating androids, you know?
That's the truth, though. You know what I mean?
Is.
Hey, listen. I mean, you know, speak the truth and shame the devil. You know, they got a thing, or they got a book that says pill popping preschoolers, even toddlers get the blues. I'm like this.
And it's sad, you know. And
it is sad.
True to a certain extent because of in different environments, you know. A lot of our, it's unfortunate, though, but a lot of, and it's not just youth either. I don't want to just target them, but a lot of times single parents and sometimes two household parents, but mainly single parents, you know, because of the skills and the development that they lack, the structure of a home setting, a lot of times they don't abide by the rules, so they have to move and they have to relocate, and they go from spot to spot to spot, and the child, you know, and it's in a dysfunctional way because, of course, we know in the military people move all the time, but everything is always structured appropriately. They know where they're going. They know why they're moving. They know why they're relocating. But with children in a household, you know, I really, my heart go out to them when they consistently have to move every 2 to 3, 4 months or even every year due to the fact of inconsistency on payment of bills. You know, just the structure of the household is not functioning properly. And for whatever reason, the parent is always on the move, and it's always, you know, fast-paced, and it's the wrong type of music, the wrong type of environment, and the children. I can totally see, you know, a lot of them being depressed, but pills is not the answer. It's love can conquer all of that, and it's, you know, of course, you can't just go and approach someone's toddler. That's why we have to really try to find a way to get inside of in the household, you know, and communicate with the single moms and the young moms and the mothers who are, you know, way up in age and they're adults, but yet, like VJ was saying, they burdened with 2 part-time jobs or a full-time job and a part-time job, or they're trying to go to school to get a better job. I mean, who's at the house with the children? It's either they in daycare or they in somebody's else care, and you know, you need them to take care of your child, but then, you know, you really don't want them there because they know, you know, maybe people smoking weed, maybe they, you know, listening to the wrong kind of music. I mean, it's going to take the community to kind of just submit and say, you know, we need better. We want change. Our children, our next generation. And I don't, it's not even, I mean, and it's all different races and all different class of people. Of course, we know it's more in the poverty-stricken areas, but, I mean, children are, they are on medication in preschool.
Yep. You know, and but they say like, hey, but it's important to realize, too, you know what I'm saying? They say 80% of depressed people are not currently having, seeking any treatment. You know,
exactly.
So we got a lot of people who are trying to self-medicate and self-analyze themselves. You know,
right.
I'm going to lay up here. I'm going to work myself out of this depression. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to drink myself out of this depression. I'm going to sleep myself out of this depression. Because, you know, we have a lot of stress-related, physically stress-related depression. You know, like you said about the young women that are working 2 part-time jobs, have to come home to the burden of feeding, clothing, cleaning their homes and taking care of their children, and they're just physically stressed out.
Right.
And they don't have an avenue. They don't have an avenue where they can lay up here and they can channel that what would you call that anger?
It don't even have to be anger, because sometimes, I mean, it's a part of that, but it is, because you have to be, you know, to some extent, yeah, I would think so. You would be angry after years of trying to make it and trying to work, and you're steady getting detached from your family, and you're just on a lateral move, and sometimes you move up the ladder, but you don't have, your body runs down, your mind runs down, and it's anger, it's frustration, it's confusion, you probably don't even understand. I know I've been through that. And at the same time, too, I mean, the companies will present avenues like, oh, well, we have this program, so you can call in if you need help, or we recommend you to do this, that, and another, but then you can't take off to go get the help. And on top of that, it's taboo. You know, it's like, oh, am I going to go to a psychologist or a psychiatrist? I think because, too, the therapists and psychiatrists and stuff need to also approach the community in a way where we can connect, where a lot of people can connect with them. Because, you know, a lot of times you feel embarrassed or you're in shame because you got to go, because that's just something a lot of communities and a lot of cultures not do.
And what you just said there about that embarrassment and that shame, they said that 54% of people believe depression is a form of personal weakness.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen those pictures over in China, where they had those mass efforts? They had these massive group of people out in one large area, and they're all doing exercises and yogas and stuff like that.
Yes, I have.
You know, I used to think that was crazy. You know, I did. You know, I used to see it up on the world news tonight and stuff like that. I used to be saying, like, look at all them old people just winging their arms around and stuff like this here and stuff. You know what I'm saying? But now I'm starting to see that them Chinese people was on something.
Yeah.
You know, they was on something, you know.
I agree. So that is some things that we need to take a look at. And utilize, you know, when the weather is right, even, you know, utilize outside. I mean, a lot of people, I mean, there's health clubs, but they're, you know, when the air is fresh. Plus, a lot of people have vitamin deficiency. I suffered through that myself, vitamin D deficiency. We didn't know what was wrong. I just know I didn't have no energy. I was
okay,
tired.
Okay, let me call. We got another call on the line, 5279, a number. Hello, caller.
Hello, Gil.
How you doing, sir?
How you doing? This is Taven. I'm calling from Minneapolis.
Okay, Taven. Have you been listening to the caller?
Yeah, actually, I have. And you guys were making some great points. And I just kind of wanted to add my opinion on that and what I was thinking and what I was once told. Was that don't count the days of your life, make the days of your life count, is what I was once told. And so as far as how do we get over our stormy days, you got to be mentally strong. You got to be strong mentally, and not just mentally, but emotionally too, because if you're strong mentally and not strong emotionally, then eventually you're going to be weak.
But David, I hear what you're saying. But what you're saying is like part of those 54% of people who believe depression is a personal weakness, because you're saying that you got to be strong. So you're saying that a person that's depressed is not strong?
No, that's not what I'm saying. A person who's depressed can be a strong person, but at the same time, it's up to them whether they overcome it or not. You're either gonna be a victim or an overcomer. Of your situation, of depending on what situation is making you depressed. So I mean, at my point of view on that is, no, I don't think anybody who depressed is weak. Because if that's the case, then I've been weak before, and that means I'm gonna get weak. Because we all go through a depressing stage in our life.
Our last caller, she made an interesting point.
Uh
You know, and she said that about vitamin deficiencies and stuff like that, that when you lay up here and you up going up on the physical, physical anxieties and stuff like that, you know what I'm saying? You're working two jobs. You know, you're dealing with your children. You're dealing with school. You got some people who work and go to school, you know what I'm saying, and then have to come home and face the responsibility of being a parent, you know what I'm saying, and they just physically go up under that fatigue system and stuff like that. They're not taking multivitamins and stuff like that. Remember, she said she was experiencing that. And, Carla, you still on the line?
Yes, I am. I'm still here.
So do you understand what Tavin is trying to say?
Yeah, I do. If I understand you correctly, sir, I don't think he was. I think what he was trying to say is that, you know, it's the strong will survive, but at the same time, you need to have the right tools.
Right.
Yeah.
To survive.
Right.
And I think, you know, to sum it up, maybe that's what you're trying to say, but without the tools, it doesn't mean you're weak. You're lacking, and so it appears, because you know, that you may be weak. But, like, when I was lacking, vitamin D is vital. I just knew something is wrong with me. I said, it's not like, it's more than some arthritis. I have no energy. And it does set in depression, and I didn't consider myself to be a weak person. I was working full time and trying to go to school, then switched and tried to do daycare because my mind kept telling me, you know, something's wrong with you physically. You need to try to hurry up and try to get a business started or something going on because I go to the doctor and they didn't check that. They couldn't figure it out. Oh, Christina, well, maybe you need a little time off because you're working and you're overloaded and you got the family. And I'm like, okay. I could never recoup, and I was just dragging and dragging until a long time went by. And eventually, they decided to check my vitamin D. It was at a level 6%. That is absolutely nothing. It felt like I was carrying my bones. Once, and it takes a while before you can get that to come in. So we, as you know, as people, it could be many things. Because at first, when I was first, you know, feeling like this, it was like, well, you're pregnant. You know, it was always in a reason. Then I wasn't pregnant anymore. Well, it's because you just had the baby and you're getting back adjusted. I mean, it was all because they would check what they were checking and they couldn't find anything, but they never checked my vitamin D. So when we be very careful when we say weak versus strong, because it's so many different things, especially with single parenting, that goes on. And when you have children of different ages, you have the teenager that's, you know, thinking for itself and they may not be thinking correctly. You're supposed to be at a PTA meeting so you can be feeling bummed out because you can never get to school. That was one of my big things, you know. And all of those cluster of things can get you to the point where you will be walking around stressed and not even really knowing it until you crash. It's like walking pneumonia. You know you
okay.
don't think.
Well, Gil, I got something that I wanted to touch bases on, too. I said that I had a few things that I wanted to touch bases on, too, as far as the youth. And before you guys got on the other topic about adults and how their depression works, I was listening to you guys talk about the youth. And to me, the youth are depressed by what they see every day on a regular basis, and it's just unreal to them that they'll ever – this will ever change. Some have the ambition to make it change, but they have no outlet. They have nobody to show them where to make this turn at, where to make that turn from right and wrong. You know, like, for example, two teenagers were shot last night, or two people were shot last night. You know, but these are probably some people that a lot of youth knew or loved or really looked up to. And just to look at them and see how they stood up, that's got to be a weight to bear on their chest. And for them to be so young, they probably don't know how to handle that pressure, so it automatically forms into depression. But my point my point of talking about the youth is they need they need someone to reassure them that there's a better better days and better ways of living than to how than what they see every day. And that's why I think so many are depression, not just talking about preschoolers or middle schoolers, high schoolers as well.
Well,
and,
that's your job.
College kids too. You know, it's a lot of things that us as a people should we should start taking upon ourselves to give these youth more outlets to show them that there's better that there's gonna be better days, better ways of living. This is not the end of the road.
Okay.
I agree.
We got another caller, and the call is 0271.
Yes, sir. How you doing?
Oh, okay. That's you with that noise.
Yes. Did I have noise?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead.
You know, I just wanted to say that I think, man, y'all having some lively discussion, and I am really excited about. What now? Who is that sister that's on the phone? What is her name?
I'm Christina.
Christina, man, Christina, you're doing a great job, and you're really coming up with some great stuff. And so I just wanted to come chime in and say, please, let's continue this discussion because it's a big problem in our community. That's why people are so easy to fight and so easy to get, you know, irritated with each other because we're depressed. Depression is a serious thing in our community. Until we really get the help we need, the support we need, and all the things we need, some people need treatment, some people need medication, we're never going to cure this deadly disease. But it's killing our community. Like Tab said, right now we got two shootings that we got to deal with. We got to find out what's going on. How do we stop it? Because depression is a big part of our violence.
That's right. Well, I want to remind all our listeners that every Thursday from 4 from 4 to 6, we have a volunteer orientation at 3026 4th Avenue South. And we're discussing today, we want people to come in, you know, and understand that, you know, like that volunteering is one of the most useful things that you can do with your excess time. Time that you're using to watch television, you know, and we, you know, I mean, come on, let's admit it. We've all seen the shows 1,000 times, and we all critics of the TV shows. They're not that very good. You know what I'm saying? And, they add to my depression. You know, so we have to have, you know, remember now, every Thursday from 4 to 6, we have a volunteer orientation class. We know we teach people how to get involved in their community.
Okay.
And understand, you know, it doesn't take a humongous effort. It doesn't. You know what I'm saying? You know, people, you don't have to be having PhDs, and you don't have to live up here, you know what I'm saying, to do how to do magic tricks or anything like that. Just be yourself, you know? And that's what it needs to show that genuine care and concern for someone else, you know, and they can lay up here, they can take off from the feelings that you give them, and they can build, you know what I'm saying, a strength and character and motivation within themselves to come up out of those shells, you know, and step off into this reality and help improve our environment, you know what I'm saying, and improve our and our communities. So remember, it's every Thursday from 4 to 6. And it's at 3026 4th Avenue South at the Mad Dad's office. And we're imploring y'all. Please just and if you're not, you can go to Minneapolis MadDads.org and check out our website of upcoming events and things that we be doing off in the community and which you might would like to participate in through voluntary services. And again, caller. I think that you know. I think you need to be a counselor somewhere. You know, I think you got that calling to be a counselor because the things that you have said are all been right on. You know, because like you know that part you said about that those vitamins that vitamin B deficiency.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was real important because I have a type 2 diabetes.
Okay.
And I didn't understand it, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I just found out last year that I had it.
Okay.
And I was going through some physiological changes. You know, then, but I thought it was just, you know, I'm 56 years old. So I thought it was just, you know, I just thought it was just being 56 years old, and I was going through some physiological changes, you know what I'm saying, just naturally.
Yes.
You know, but when I went to the hospital and went up under my examination, they told me that I had a vitamin deficiency of D.
Mm-hmm.
And they put me on a D vitamin, a super vitamin or something like that.
Yeah,
you know? Because I was feeling, like you said, I was feeling fatigue all the time. I used to lay up here and walk up a flight of stairs. I used to be able to run up, you know. And now I walk up those flight of stairs, and next thing you know, I had to sit down, and I was all tired and everything, out of breath. So I think you're correct when you said about that depression relative to your vitamin intake and stuff like that, you know, and you can take that so far as that how we feed our children.
Exactly.
You know,
I agree,
because a lot of people are starting to feed their kids that those instant potato, you know, that instant food and stuff like that is fast.
Right.
Fast food stuff, you know what I'm saying? Somebody just throw in the oven, throw it up in his face, go ahead and let him eat it, you know what I'm saying? Open up a can, dump it in the microwave, bam, and put it up off in his face, you know?
Yeah, and the vitamin content is very low. It's hardly no nutrients. It just makes you, it tastes good, and it makes you feel full, but it's not giving your body anything that it really needs.
Yeah, you know, I mean, like, I got all this paper in front of me, and I don't see none of that on none of these papers. You know, and I'm just saying, you know, how important it is for communication in our community. You know, we got another caller. We got another call on the line. And what you were saying about, you know, like you said about that, those vitamins, that's very important. What Tavon was mentioned about those shootings in the community and stuff, those are traumatic experiences and stuff. I'm saying that we, unfortunately, we have got to start doing some crisis intervention programming with our children. Because we cannot ask our kids to absorb this type of violence.
Not at all.
And just digest it and just be some form of normalcy. Because if you ever look up in the World News Tonight and these other news sources and stuff, where they have these shootings in these schools and they have any type of traumatic experience that's going to drastically change the lives or the thinking of the children inside the facilities and stuff, they always have a crisis intervention person that comes in and they deal with the kids.
We need
that in our community.
We need that
in our schools today. You know, we need a crisis intervention program set up in our school for our children to have
the tools they need.
The tools they need to deal. Amen. You know what I'm saying? The tools they need to deal with those type of problems. Because these are real problems. Those are real people that got shot last night. You know what I'm saying? And those real people had friends. And they had friends that had friends. You know what I'm saying? They had friends that had friends that had friends. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So it affects, you know, it's just like a vibrant, a destructive wave, you know what I'm saying, vibrating through all our community and stuff like that. And everybody's having these derogatory, traumatic experiences off of it. And like they said, 54% of those people will never vocalize trauma from that.
And, you know, Gil, I don't think it's right that the youth should have to wake up and see that on the news every day or go outside and hear about that every day, all day. And another point I want to make is dwelling on negativity. That's one of the biggest causes of depression to me, too, because a lot of people just dwell on negative situations and they don't know how to look past them or overcome them, and they have nobody to show them how to get past it or overcome them. It's just a lot of things that we could do to upgrade our youth and show them, like I said, that there's going to be better days and better ways of living.
Yeah, and Adrian, I believe, you know, exactly what you're saying, you know, is that, you know, like when a lot of times, you know, when you feel lost, you know, in a world of uncertainty, you know what I'm saying, when you feel that you don't have any individual power or self-expression, you know, to the events that's happening in your life, you know, that, you know, this is why, you know, I strongly believe in prayer. You know, when things get so overpowering with me, you know, I have to seek the solitude of my own self, You know, I mean, I have to deattach myself from everything around me, and I have to go down and I have to seek solitude of prayer. And once I pray, I can lay up in, I can cleanse those ancient emotions that you have and stuff. You're saying,
yeah.
A feeling like you said, feeling helpless and feeling like you have no control. You know, because like the Bible tells us what? It says, you know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood.
Yeah.
You know, we wrestle against all those unseen objects and those unseen spirits that dwell off into our communities. You know,
Right now, there's a young lady in a hospital in Minneapolis fighting for her life. She's probably got a younger sister, if not any kids, you know, because nowadays most of the youth, but the majority of the youth have children, you know, between the ages of, like, depending on how old they are. But really sometimes that don't even matter. But the point is they have children, little sisters, little cousins that probably look up to her. So with her in her situation, and they look like maybe they looked up to her. Maybe she was somebody special to them that they thought was gonna be something in life or go somewhere in life. And now she's laid in the hospital fighting for her life. And when they look at that and they actually comprehend what just went down and what just happened, they think, well, what's gonna happen for me if she was doing good and she was. On her square, and she was going to work, and she finished school, and she did this. Then look, what happened to her? It's just a case of kids being depressed, being at the wrong place at the wrong time. It's a whole lot of stuff that goes along with this, Gil. And I don't know. I feel like there's got to be something more that we can do.
Well, again, I like to remind people that every Thursday. From 4 to 6, that we have a volunteer orientation class at 3026 4th Avenue South. And Taven, I think that will lay up here and empower a lot of different people to lay up here and become active in this this war that we're engaged in our community. You know, I believe that every fourth Thursday of the month. There's a one-hour volunteer training offered at from 4 to 6 p.m. located at the Mad Dad's office at 3026 4th Avenue South, Minneapolis. All you have to do is call Sharita to reserve your position, and the number is 612-822-0802.
Okay.
And we strongly urge, because, you know, this is a proactive movement. We have to get involved. You know,
yeah.
I mean, we have to get involved. I mean, you know, I mean, like, I know, you know, like, people get, you know, like, I work inside the schools, and I see these babies that's reaching out for love. They're reaching out for hugs. They're reaching out for attention. They're reaching out for someone to just talk to them, to show them a little love and concern, you know. And I look at these statistics that surrounded me at this table, and, I you know, and it says, preschoolers are the fastest growing market for antidepressants. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And like our female caller said, you know, that you got these kids taking Ritalins. You know what I'm saying? Ritalins is a harsh narcotic. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, Gil.
And it's mood swinging. It's a mood swinging, thing for children. You know,
yeah.
And you just think, you know what I'm saying, what it's doing to those young, fertile minds, man.
And if I could say, it's also a business as well. You know,
yeah.
I mean, we do. The young gentleman on the phone there, where he's talking about, you know, the youth and how, you know, you see people moving forward and doing things and bad things happen to them and something needs to change. It does, because we're targeting all generations from preschool to youth, to teenagers,
elders,
and adults and elders. So I would hope you would say that phone number again and before closing the day, and make sure hopefully you can say that every time you on the air to let people know we need volunteers. I will be calling in as well, because the young gentleman is right. We need some role models. We need a change. We need to get together and try to do something to have this state help us change the way things are happening, and definitely getting our youth some help in schools with some therapy on site when these tragedies happen, because they have friends, whether they're relatives, friends, loved ones. It is detrimental. I just lost a mom. I lost my dad last year. It is detrimental for, and I'm an adult, and I know where the avenues are and to go, and it still is. It's a mood swing thing, because you got to keep yourself built up. These youth need us. They need
us. You got to keep your mind in check.
You got to keep your mind. You're right. Your mind in check, and that is a healthy way for us to approach the community. And we need to just put something in place and start this right now. I mean, it needs to be right now. We're talking about from preschool all up to the elderly. Something has to change rapidly. The young man is truly right. Something needs to change fast.
Is it Christine or Christina?
Christina.
Okay. Gil and Christina, I have a question for both of you. As me being a father, I got a one-year-old daughter. She turns one tomorrow. What advice can you guys give me as far as when she's getting older and she's growing up and going through these? What can I do to make sure that I keep her mind in check as well as my own?
Well, if you don't mind me going first,
go ahead, Christine.
I would say definitely get connected with a church. You need a church family. I mean, I'm not saying, you have to be overkill with it if you're not already, but you want to start taking her to church and yourself, because the foundation is the Lord. If you believe in God, that's the first foundation. And
yes, ma'am.
And it's never too young to start. So start introducing her to church, get her involved, because, I mean, that's where we get our confidence and our security from. And from there, even the churches, a lot of times they have, and that's another thing that could be missing too, because a lot of times when people are not going to church, churches are implementing these programs where they have therapists come in or talking and have certain facilitate certain programs, whether it's abuse. So, again, to go back to your daughter, I would definitely have just continue to bond with her. Another thing, continue to hug and kiss her no matter how old she gets. Of course, they're going to go through that squeamish, don't kiss me in front of my friends. Hug and kiss, because it seems the older we get, the less we hug and kiss, unless it's our honeys, But as children get older, just get you a kiss. I need a kiss and a hug today. Come give me my, we need that. And on top of that, make sure as you go through with your insurances or different things or programs in the community, keep around healthy, positive people. If she doesn't have or you're not close to your family, that's another thing. Sometimes we get detached from family and the children don't have grandparents or aunts or uncles, and we always think they need to be blood related. You pray and seek God to send your child a village to surround her with love and care, and you continually do that all the days of your life, and you get her involved in different things in the community. Keep her busy, but always let her know God will never leave or forsake her. She needs that. She needs that. We all need that. So I would start there, and I would definitely just keep her positive music. We have to start speaking up, because we do. I've even been through that. Like, oh, my gosh, but they great people, and they with their family, or they here and there, but, I hope they don't be playing that kind of music. We can say, do you mind, can y'all just make sure, bring tapes and CDs, keep our children around positive music. Your child is 1 year old. I'll wrap it up with saying this. It's a movie called, if you haven't seen it, Cuba Gooding Jr. in it, Gifted Hands. Get that.
No, ma'am, I haven't.
Get Gifted Hands, look it up online, order it, whatever, And it is about the our first black neurosurgeon, but the Ben Carson story. And the reason why I said this is because he became a brain surgeon. And music plays a key to our, especially to children's development. Get Mozart, get very opera. It's, you know, and it's all different races of people who sing opera, even though the community, I mean, the world keeps showing us, you know, a certain culture. Get different culture of music and play it as you sleep. They say music is, it does a lot of good in development for the brain. And also music, get her involved, whether she's tapping on a little piano at home, one of them little tiny ones. Music does a lot for us. Make sure it's always positive and keep the faith.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, and Taven, my advice to you with bringing up this child is that you've got to watch what you put in your baby.
Yes, ma'am.
You've got to watch the food that you put into your baby.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You've got to watch, man, you know, you got to start teaching her to eat healthy right now. You know?
Yeah.
You've got to start watching what you put into your baby. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
And again, you have to watch and be very, very particular about who you let your child around. You know?
Yes,
because children are so exorbitant today. You know? Children have been robbed of innocence that I had. I'm 56 years old. So when I was growing up, I grew up, you know what I'm saying, in a harsh reality. You know what I'm saying, was that a responsibility. You know what I'm saying? You had to take out the garbage. You had to wash the dishes. You had to learn how to iron your own pants to go to school. You know what I'm saying? You had to learn how to lay up here and cook for yourself. You know what I'm saying? These things were taught, were drummed into us by my mother. You know what I'm saying? And
yes, sir.
So those habits, as I grew older, you know what I'm saying, when I came home to have my own apartment, you know what I'm saying, and started living away from home and stuff, those were the things that I went back to in order to, you know, to keep the upkeep among myself. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
So, you know, you need to start practicing what you put in your baby. Watch the foods that you give her. You know what I'm saying? See, because we're starting to learn so much about the adverse reality and reflect and you know, effects of sugar into our system.
Make sure she get enough of all her vitamins and eat enough of all her fruits and all of that.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? That's why, you know, as a parent, you have to lay up here, man, and be willing to re-educate yourself. Because
even though she only a year old, this is still all brand new to me. So it's gonna be brand new
with you until she's 50 years old. You know. Understand that, you know what I'm saying? Because once you're a parent, you don't never stop being a parent till you die.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? They don't never stop. They don't give up. You know what I'm saying? They don't like this, you know, like in the movies they say, oh, you raise them till they're 18 years old and stuff. You're saying, and then, bam, open up the door and they just run out to the street and get them a life. It don't work like that.
You know what I'm saying?
Believe me, it don't work like that. So
I just want to be the best parent that I could be. That's it.
You're going to be the best parent that you can be, you know, because you have the willingness to do that. You know what I'm saying? As long as you remain teachable, you're going to remain a necessary part in your child's development, you know? And that's what we're speaking about today, you know? And again, I want to say for all of you who are interested in helping our community to becoming more involved, we want you to get more involved with the Mad Dads. You know what I'm saying? Here's your opportunity. You know, every fourth Thursday of the month. That's every fourth Thursday of the month. That's like at the end. There's a 1 hour volunteer training class that offered from 4 p.m. and then again at 6 p.m. It's located at the Mad Dad's office at 3026 4th Avenue South, Minneapolis. You can call Sharika and make you an appointment. You know, and that number is at 612-822-0802. And we're asking all those to come in and join us and be a solution solver. You know what I'm saying? Let's work together to find a solution to the problems and ails our community. And if you know, and if you, and if you know, if you haven't got the time, and you feel that you know that you want to be involved, but you don't have the time to spare that hour to spare, we'd like for you to go to the Minneapolis Mad Dads, you know, .org, you know, and check out, you know, check out our site. You know, check out what we're doing, you know, and check out.
Key thing, get involved.
I got another call on the line. I got another call on line here. Hello, caller?
Yeah, this is caller.
All right. That sounds like a familiar voice there, man.
It could be familiar. I'm called the black man, so...
The black man.
Yeah.
The genius.
This is the black man. Genius, yes, I'm known by that too, but I, you know.
How you doing, genius?
I'm doing really good, man. Heard y'all was talking about Stormy Daves.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
You know, and it actually is fitting of today because as I look out my window, it's a stormy day. You understand? But I think y'all are talking about it in a different context.
Yeah. We're talking about it in depression.
And depression.
Yes, sir.
You understand? Yeah, physical or mental depression.
We're talking about mental depression. But it goes off into physical depression too.
That's right. When the storm you're talking about, brother, being that situational depression that brothers and sisters get into when storms come their way, you understand? When their wife don't left them, you understand? The dog don't die, you understand? Things don't happen to them that they have no control over. They don't lost their job. The landlord looking at them crazy, you understand? The kid don't got kicked out of school, stuff like that.
Yes, sir.
So, you know, a lot of people, when they see me, they ask me, how am I doing? And I usually tell them I'm doing okay, but my world around me is an uproar. You understand? Because things are never going to that are around you. If you care enough about people and things around you, you're gonna have storms. There's a storm brewing right now in somebody's life. They ain't even felt it yet.
That's right.
But when it comes along, it's how you deal with it. You understand?
That's right.
It's not what happens to you. It's how you react to what happens to you. And that's what causes some people to go into depression and some people to just keep on stepping, you know. Because, and that's what I have to do. I have to do it, man, because I'd go crazy if I let my conditions of my life dictate how I was going to feel. You know, I've been to a doctor for depression. I have taken Prozac, you understand, for depression until I learned how to deal with those storms in a different way. And how
I deal with them.
Let me just tell you how I deal with them today. I have hope and encouragement and faith in my Lord Jesus Christ. I know I give them to him. I know that he's going to watch my back. Everybody ain't got that, though. You understand? But that's how I deal with storms. I have so much hope in me that, you know, and I've got such good people that I can talk to, you know, about my storms that just won't listen and just walk away, that will listen and ask, how can I help you, my brother? You know.
Oh, so you're saying you have a support team.
I got a dream team.
I got a dream team.
I need
team.
One of them.
Stop at support system. You know, they get one or two friends. Yeah, imagine this. If a guy has a dream team, why does he have to go outside of that dream team for anything? Everything that he needs should be within his friendship network.
So,
everything.
John.
Yeah.
So you have a support group that's every Tuesday and Thursday night, right?
Yes.
And y'all located at 3023 4th Avenue South.
3023.
And it's from 5 to 7. It's from 5 to 7. And y'all have y'all serve a meal and all that, right? Give away
we
food?
We serve a meal, yes. We give food packages. This is a partnership that we have. This is in Minneapolis for y'all listening in other places, Minneapolis, Minnesota. And we give an encouraging message, and then we network. You understand? We help people build their support system, you know, by networking with us.
Okay, we have 60 seconds left. I want to commend all you who called in today. I want to let in and show you that I tell you that I really, really love the fact the way the sister brought it to us today, and how knowledgeable she later been expressed herself today. I found that to be very astonishing. And, again, I want to remind us, remind everybody, you know what I'm saying, that you can make a difference. You know, you can make a difference. We're saying that depression in our community is a very, very, very realistic situation. And we're asking everybody to, hey, man, let's take our hands out of our pockets, man, and let's put some hugs on somebody, man. Let's greet people. Let's start smiling at them. So I want to just close by saying I wish the Lord lay up in, be in all our lives today. We ask the Lord that he play and he just guide with y'all. And then I'll see y'all next week.
Peace.
God bless.
Definitely.
God bless you all.
And thank you, Christina and Gil, for the advice.
You
Christina, you was the bomb. Christina, you was the bomb. Call up next week.
Please do.
I got to make you the co-host.
God bless y'all. We'll do. We'll do.
Okay. They told me I had 3 seconds. My city thing that ran over.
Remember, the Lord is merciful.
Look, see, it's still on.
That means he guy got some more that he wants you to say. He said you're not done yet.
Oh, he said I'm not done yet. I'm here. This
he
is another,
said,
just,
hey, he
this
said
this
you ain't done yet.
The line.
That's right. He is merciful. He got more voices.
Oh, there's another call on the line.
Look at that.
Yeah, who's this other caller? We got another call on the line, a 5270 number.
Mm-mm.
No? Okay. So, show is on but not steaming. What does that mean?
Not streaming. Yeah, it's not out in the air. It's not streaming out.
Oh, we just talking. I think we just talking on the telephone.
Yeah.
Oh, we ain't on air no more.
All right, y'all. God bless y'all. Next time.
Right, God bless y'all.
Yeah.
God bless y'all. Okay.
Bye.
Okay. So how I said it off, John?
Stop. I think.
Yeah.
That should do it.
Stop all sound files. See, that's what we was talking on. We was on this thing
okay,
here.
Shut that down.
Speaker.
Just set the speaker.